97.5 The Fanatic. Now, back to more of Tyrone Johnson.
Presented by Bet River Sportsbook. Bet River Sportsbook is Philly's hometown sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
.5 The Fanatic, Tyrone Johnson here with you until Temple football. 610-632-0975. But on the line right now, he's really helped me all season long. I know he's helped a lot of you all season long. From freewinners.net, the number to call them, 888-366-3733, Mr. Paul Nolan. How are you today, Paul?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Now, Paul, before we get into the gambling and everything, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever or do you drink alcohol?
I do.
Okay. I want to ask, this is the question. Is there that, I think that most people that have been drinking for a while have this one thing that they can't drink. The smell or something due to a bad experience at some point, they have the thing that they don't drink. Do you off the top of it? Mine is Southern Comfort. I can't get near it. It goes back to a story. It was a bad night. Is there anything out there that you don't drink because you had an experience in yesteryear?
Yeah, Sambuca. I think I was like 16 or 17 years old with my Italian family and drank way too much of it. And even black licorice at this point, if I smell it, I just like it just brings me back to the worst hangover a human being has ever had.
I'll say it's always the smell. The smell hits you and you're like, no, not that. Stay away from me. It's the worst.
Oh, it's terrible. So now I drink gin and milk. I'm just kidding. I don't drink that. Trying to think of the worst drink you could possibly make up.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know.
I appreciate it, Paul. No, this is another thing we've been talking about. And I think that this is something that's it happens to all of us. Now, you always talk about all the free picks. I've done well with you all week, so I want to personally thank you. You've been helping a lot of people. Interesting week. Let's start with college. I know your brother handles a lot of college picks. This is an interesting weekend because the Big Ten in this Philadelphia area. Philadelphia's not always a huge college football town, but Penn State, Ohio State, once Michigan, once those teams start playing, this area really perks up. And I think you have a couple free picks out of the Big Ten.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm just so happy the Big Ten is back.
Yes.
Especially one of my good friend's son. He's recruited by Michigan, so we're all so proud of him. Quarterback. Today we really like Penn State, Indiana. We like Oak State, Iowa's free picks. We have a couple under the radar games. You know, we have Houston and Navy. We really love that game as well. And Cincy and SMU. So we want to give those for free. And then tomorrow I just have a great slate tomorrow as well. This is the time of year where I'm just so punch drunk happy. I'm just so excited because I really feel like everything is starting to hit stride. We did lose Thursday night betting on your darn Eagles.
Well,
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I'm with you.
Come on, boys. We need just to pick it up here. I have a small bet for you to win the division. What's going on?
I think you're going to do okay with that one. Now, I was listening to the show like I do every morning, every Saturday morning. I was listening to the show, and you guys were talking about chasing money.
Yeah.
And how you shouldn't do it. Because every week you educate people. Could you give people a little nugget as to why you shouldn't do that? Because you're educating people in addition to giving them picks.
You simply can't win when you're playing scared. It just can't be done. Just like when you're playing scared, you end up always going favorite and over. You end up taking the games that look so easy, that Vegas sets those lines, they look easy, but they're not. You know, those are the games that people get chopped up on. So the key really is allocate a bankroll. And let's just say it's $100 or $1,000, whatever it may be. Everybody's different. One size doesn't fit all. You got to play 3-5% of that bankroll. Treat it like you go into a blackjack table with $1,000. No one's betting $500 on a blackjack hand if they have $1,000 for the weekend. So you got to really kind of think to yourself, you really should be betting $5 a hand. You have to be able to ride all the highs and lows. And when things start going well, you can up it a little bit. Same thing with sports wagering. You really have to pick a number and kind of stay within it just to – and that's just my way of simplifying the money management system we use. We just want guys 3%, 5%, a really big game 10. And if we have something like a game of the year or an investment bankroll game, we'll let guys go as high as 20, you know, if they're, if they've been with us a long time and they have all kinds of profits.
That's awesome, Paul. We're talking to Paul Nolan from freewinners.net, 888-366-3733. Couple picks in the NFL for tomorrow. Seattle and the 49ers. You want to talk about that one just a little bit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I no question about it. Talk about two teams that, you know, you said who? Seattle and 49ers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. So, well, the 49ers go to Seattle next week, and they, you know, they got...
I'm sorry, I misworded the question. I know Seattle's playing Arizona, 49ers going against New England. I think you have a couple free picks on the line for those this week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love that's one of the games that we absolutely love as a free pick. There's no question about that. Some of the games I was going to give on the air this week was going to be Tampa and the Raiders, but I think that's a great free pick. I think the Buccaneers and the Raiders are going to go over. There's all so many great matchups in that game as a free pick for the audience. This is one of my executive clubs, this game. So the guys who've already paid, I'm sorry, I don't want to be disrespectful to the people who've paid us already.
Of course not.
They're going to get that game as part of the executive service, but I'm going to win that one. But getting back to Tampa, Las Vegas, the matchups are great. Henry Ruggs has changed the look of that offense. Derek Carr is throwing the ball almost triple his deep threat rate with Ruggs in the lineup. The kid is an absolute jet. He can catch. He's always getting separation. He's just a pure home run. He's Tyreek the Freak kind of fast, and he's just a perfect complement to that offense because that offense has so many great weapons. I mean, when you look at where Josh Jacobs is able to get out of the backfield and his running has been outstanding, he's making guys miss, he's breaking tackles. Darren Waller is always getting open. Those underneath threats have really done a nice job for this team that we believe is kind of on the rise. What Gruden has done for Derek Carr, that ultimate check down type of guy.
Yeah, rejuvenated him.
Rejuvenated and really like matured him, and and the way he uses Hunter Renfro and Aguilar has been a really nice complement to that offense as well. He's really emerging for a guy you guys know pretty well, so there's weapons everywhere. I think this game has to go over, especially the Buccaneers. Like last week, the Bucs had this really interesting defensive concepts. They were doing all kinds of multiples with like these front looks and pressure schemes was so confusing, but I really think going back, I watched the film of the last three games, and they start to create patterns. And once a team does the same thing three straight weeks, I don't see how Gruden and his offensive staff are not going to see what I see. I mean, I'm a moron compared to those guys. So the fact that they're doing almost identical things, and since Vita Vey went out, I see this as an opportunity. With this should end up being a shootout. On the other side of it, Tampa is so capable of getting the ball deep, and they were playing a lot of that they really looked like the Patriots-style offense for stretches, and then, boom, they went straight to the Arians model of get it deep, hurl it downfield, and, the completion rates and the accuracy of both quarterbacks in this game has been outstanding. I think everybody should bet this over this weekend.
Nah, that. Thank you for that pick. And one more I want to ask you about, Paul. Remember, people, 888-366-3733 to get some of the other free picks for today and tomorrow. Pittsburgh versus Tennessee. This is actually a game that's been very hot on the phone lines during the week organically. So it's funny you came up with that. A lot of people are into that game because these are two really good football teams.
Oh, good. Good God, yeah. This is the game of the week. This is going to be so physical. This will be just an absolute bloodbath. This will be old school. Bring it like really to the 80s, 90s football where everybody was trying to destroy everybody on every play. Arthur Smith has done such a great job with Tannehill. We'll talk about really advancing a quarterback. One of the things Tannehill's always been a problem in his career is taking too many sacks. So far this year, under pressure, he's got 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. He's improved on it, but I do see a regression to the mean with Taylor Lewan out. Plus, the rest of that offensive line is really banged up.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that lives and dies by that really thug mentality. I love their offensive line before going into this year, even without Jack Conklin. I mean, they have that dirtbag mentality, and I love that. Give me two geniuses on the offensive line and three dirtbags, and you have an offensive line that could take it to a Super Bowl. These guys will want to fight, but Cimbreo is struggling. He's banged up. Sapol doesn't look like himself. I'm really concerned about this offensive line against this unit that is so good. Ben Jones has regressed so bad. No one's talking about if he has injuries or not at the center position, but he doesn't look himself. Mm. And when you look at him, he's getting no punch on his right arm. And I just think that's a great matchup in the three technique. I'm so certain that this defensive line has so much tenacity. Obviously, this front seven, they get pressure on 50% of their. I think scoring will be at a premium. I think we got to go under in this one. I think both teams are going to really do what they have to do in terms of grinding it out. There is going to be an option, though, for some deep threats if, you know, Tennessee gets any kind of time, because that secondary of Pittsburgh is their Achilles heel. So, you know, we're going to hope that there won't be any of those big, giant bombs. But I think we could trust the under in this game. I think it's a good value. I think the line is inflated, and I'm just hoping we see a little bit of a couple holding calls on big plays. And as we know, the NFL's just not calling holding anymore.
No, not at all. Paul, give the number one more time. We can't appreciate it anymore. Every single week you deliver. The number one more time.
Okay, yeah, it's 888-366-3733, and I absolutely love the Niners and Patriots. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, and Bears-Rams, I'll go 2-0 for everybody tomorrow. And today, there's really no question about the fact that, you know, we have Iowa State, Oak State, we have Penn State, Indiana. There's just so many great games on the board today for free, so that everybody who calls in will get the two free best bets today, two free best bets tomorrow, and everything we win, we're going to put it on the Monday night game. So just get involved. It's 888-366-3733. Give us a try, and we'll manage your account. We'll win for you. We'll lead you. We'll guide you. We'll help you. It's whatever's best for you. Like the listeners out there should know, we know one size does not fit all. We want to just adjust according to who you are and what your personal needs are.
Thanks so much, Paul, and you enjoy the rest of the week, and I'll be betting a couple of these picks.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Those totals are definitely worth betting, but call me later, and I'll give you all the best bets today as well, my friend.
Thank you, sir. That's Paul Nolan from freewinners.net.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. Now, back to more of Tyrone Johnson.
Presented by Bet River Sportsbook. Bet River Sportsbook is Philly's hometown sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Fanatic, Tyrone Johnson, leading you up to Temple football. 610-632-0975. Word of the week is balance. But right now, very excited about this. From NBC Sports Philadelphia, former Eagle, Mr. Barrett Brooks is on the line on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. How are you this morning, Barrett? Thanks for coming on.
No problem, Tyrone. How's it going today, man?
Doing pretty well, Barrett. Now, before we get into the Eagle stuff, I want to ask you, if you ever drank alcohol, I want to ask you, what is that one drink, if you have one, that you just can't drink because it just gives you the chills or it just makes you feel nasty?
Oh, man. You know what? I pledge, you know, I'm Omega Sci-Fi,
right.
You know, and, you know, the guy that pledged me, he always drank gin. Mm-hmm. So gin is like the worst. To me, gin smells like pine oil, like you use it to take off, paint off cars or something, you know. So every time I smell gin, it makes me sick, man. That's like the worst drink for me, man.
That's the one.
But I'm still an old school guy, though. I'm an old school guy. I drink 7-7, but gin is just the worst for me, man.
You know, it's funny. Gin. And what's funny is my dad's one he can't drink is Seagram 7. But what's funny is the thing that it's not always the same thing, but everybody who drinks has a thing that they can't drink.
Right, absolutely, man. I just can't do it, man. Every time I smell it, it makes me sick, man.
Absolutely. Now, shifting over to the Eagles, obviously, you post-game live, pre-game, you've been in the city forever. I want to start with the offensive line play. You were an offensive lineman. The guard play, Jamon Brown adjusting a glove during a play, something I had never seen before. And then you followed up on Thursday, he's out and Opet's in. And there was one play where Troy Aikman, I never heard a commentator say this. They go, well, he didn't bother to block on that play. Like, that's what Troy Aikman said. It was a point where Wentz brought back, and literally the guy just came, like, he should have been, I'm saying, the quarterback's looking, he goes, okay, it's four-man rush. And he just went right past Opet. Opet just didn't block.
Bro, one of my favorite shows, man, is Talladega Nights, man.
Right.
And Shake and Bacon, you know, then he comes out with the Magic Man. Well, Opet on that play played the Magic Man. You know, now you see me, now you don't. He just shook his head in front of Opet on the play. And he just whiffed him, missed him. I mean, he totally didn't touch him, man. And he got up the field, man. But he played consistently enough that they were able to win the game.
Right.
Last week, I tell you what, Brown almost got him killed. I mean, it should have been an APB out of him because he almost got him killed. Man, it was almost attempted murder. That's how bad he was and how he played, how Brown played in that game against Calais Campbell. In fact, Carson got hit 16 times.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, all those sacks. Eight of them I counted, was Brown just totally not even touching Calais Campbell.
Wow.
I mean, we have a play called sprint right option. Sprint right option is the only play that you don't give a sack up on. And it's become one of the Eagles' favorite plays. And all it is, the quarterback sprints to the right. All everybody has to do is almost a run block to try to, you know, get to the right side of the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave up a sack. He couldn't get to the right side of the defensive line on sprint right option. That's like a travesty. You know, you never give up a sack on sprint right. And the quarterback is told never get sacked on sprint right option.
Right.
You could always throw the ball out of bounds. But it was so fast and so quick, and Calais Campbell came up the field so fast that he couldn't do anything about it. So, I mean, those are the type of things that, you know, Carson's been getting a bum deal a little bit. You know, there are times where he's messing up, you know, like the interception he had in the end zone. He
for
was supposed
sure.
to throw it to, you know, to the stop right in front of him on the trip side. It should have went to him. But, you know, when you're getting beat up like he's been getting beat up, I kind of totally understand that sometimes I'm going to see a little ghost here and there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and it brings me to the next thing I want to ask you about, because I don't know the right answer. Okay, actually, I think I have a right answer, but I want to find out from an expert if this is the right answer. Doug Peterson yesterday, because he played a Thursday game, he does his day after news conference, and he mentions on his own, without being asked, that Jason Peters is close and there's an outside chance he could be back for the Dallas game and he could be activated off of IR. Okay. Then the obvious question is, with the way my lot is probably playing better than people expected, being that he had played no football in his life, does he automatically go to left tackle? And the coach's response was interesting. He says that's something we'll discuss internally. You've mentioned the guard play. If you're in charge of the offensive line, you can convince, forget Jason, take him out of it. If you were the offensive line coach, Jason Peters is ready to play. He's ready to play against Dallas. Where would you put him, Barrett?
I honestly would not put JP back at the left tackle position.
Okay.
I mean, Jordan Mailata has played well enough that he's kind of solidified himself as the starting left tackle. You know, and it has a little more to do with monetary value, you know, and longevity as far as this guy being on a team for a while. At the end of the day, Jordan Mailata has kind of locked things down. So I think the most logical position he could go to is the right guard position or left guard position, and then you have Herbig there. And, and then I think you have a line that can go out there and compete. Now, the right tackle position, I know I heard last year that, that JP had thought about playing right tackle, and, you know, he had some reps at right guard, and it might be a smoother transition to put him to right tackle. But at the end of the day, Jordan Mailata goes anywhere. He's not in the conversation of going anywhere. He will be the starting left tackle. I wouldn't even move him to the right side. Just leave him alone. Let him keep playing consistent. Let him do his thing over there for the next couple of years. I mean, and that's, you know, even next year when Dillard comes back.
Wow.
Well, Dillard, you know, he is a mountain of a man. Number one, you can't find that type of size and talent and athleticism in a guy playing football. I mean, he's 6'8", 360 pounds, moves fluidly. Has starting to get a little nastiness to him. Understanding how to play the game, he's starting to get it. He's really starting to get it. So just leave him alone. Let him go out there and learn and become a player. You know, don't bother.
Yeah.
You know, move everybody else, but leave him alone.
Wow. And you know what? That's a funny thing. You actually led me to something. Dillard was a first round pick, but obviously I'm a person who believes that obviously I know for a fact that coaches will look at guys. Okay. He was a first round pick and this guy was undrafted or a seventh round pick or whatever it may be. But at some point, one guy has performed, assuming that they listen and Mailata plays the rest of the year. He's basically at that point will have played a full season at left tackle. At that point, Dillard then, sorry, buddy, I know you were a first round pick, but this guy has measurables that we can use at 6'8" and with that athleticism, as you mentioned, Dillard, you're going to have to go find a place at another spot on the offensive line, you're saying, basically going forward.
No question. He goes elsewhere. Maybe you put Dillard in at guard, mm-hmm. which is actually probably a better possibility for him. Dillard at this point, you know, he's just too soft. Wow. You know, and I hate to say that about a player.
Right.
You know, and I'm the last one to want to say that about a player, but I'm just being realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And watching him and the opportunities that have been afforded to him because he's a first rounder. But at this point, you can't accept Jordan Mailata. He has to stay where he is. And there's no disrespect to JP either. You know, JP will wear a gold jacket. You know, he's the best player, you know, I ever seen play the left tackle position. You know, and I've seen some great ones. You know, I've seen, Big Brown, Orlando Brown. I saw, you know, guys that ball out. But he's by far the best athlete I've ever seen at the left tackle position. But at this time, it's Mailata's show. He needs that opportunity to maximize his potential as a player there at the left tackle position.
Now, we're talking to Barrett Brooks from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Now, Barrett, I want to ask you about also on the defensive side of the ball. Joe Banner, he did an interview with Paul Domowicz in the Inquirer. He thinks that the Eagles would be buyers at the trade deadline, not sellers for offensive line depth, not necessarily a starter. They're not going to trade a first-round pick for an extra body on the offensive line. You mentioned it already. None of us would be against that. He also mentioned linebacker play. You've been watching the games. You've been breaking it down. To all the fans, we're saying this linebacker play is some of the worst we've seen in Philadelphia. We remember Trotter. We remember Byron Evans. We remember Seth Joyner, your colleague at NBC Sports Philadelphia. We remember the great linebacker play we've had in Philadelphia. How do you diagnose what's going on with the linebacker play in Philadelphia so far this year, this season?
They've devalued it since Trout left. They definitely devalued the fact that you can play with I'm not going to say, yeah, I will say subpar linebackers at this point, you know, not non-starters or anywhere else. You know, mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in it's something about playing as an offensive lineman and looking across, you know, the formation and you look at the D-line. All right, we're going to block the D-line. But when you have to get to that linebacker, you have to get to Junior Seau. You have to get to Ray Lewis.
Right.
You have to get to Hardy Nickerson. You have to get to Pat Swillen. You have to get to those type of linebackers, or they will bust the whole play up. At this point, they're not worried about I was lying on other teams. They're not worried about getting to the second level. They're not worried about getting to these linebackers because they're not impact linebackers. You know, they're not a Bobby Wagner, you know, to these
right.
days, you know. They're not guys that you have to account for really in your number count when you're out there blocking. If you block them on the way, that's a plus. But right now, teams are going to dedicate all their attention on blocking the guys up front, which is going to put them in a bad position. Because now, you know, if you don't have linebackers that are studs to get and go out and make plays, then that's all you have to worry about. Because I've seen them too many times be there to make the play but not finish the deal. You have to finish the deal. I mean, so many times I've seen our linebackers get to a play 3 yards behind a line of scrimmage and then don't tackle them. You know, and I'm getting tired of it now. You know, I tried to make a case, you know, for guys, you know, every day. I'm like, Nathan Gary, come on, man. You're there to make a play. And he the running back either jukes him or knocks him down or he just doesn't tackle him. And instead of a 3 yard loss, they have a 6 yard game. Those are the things that we're not good enough to come back from. You cannot be, you can't be in a position where you're there to make the play, don't make the play, and think you're going to be successful as a defense. And until we start valuing the linebacker position as a position of need, this team is going to be hard for us to stop really anybody. You know, you look at the big-time linebackers, they're usually the guys that have the best defenses. Yes, we have a great defensive line, although I need some return on 93 up front, man. I'm not getting anything from him. In fact, you know, this is almost a waste of $30 million, if I'm telling you the truth, man. He has done nothing. something.
And you know, Malik Jackson.
He's made it happen.
Yeah, Malik Jackson's hurt.
He's made it happen.
So for a lot of fans, they think, okay, no problem. This is why we did that acquisition in the offseason. Malik Jackson was supposed to be a, quote, rotation player at this point with Fletcher Cox, you know. And instead, feel like you're not getting a lot to the point where now you got Vinnie Curry playing inside on a lot of snaps because he's giving more production.
Why are we at this point, man? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. We went out and invested a lot of money, you know, at the D-line position. And guys are starting to step up. But, you know, it's a travesty that we're talking about guys that got these $30 million contracts. And then I say, well, Javon Hargraves is stealing right now. Blank. I'm not going to say it, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He's stealing right now because he has not made any plays, any impact plays. And, you know, I need to see some dividends on his play.
I can.
Javon needs the ball, man, and you're opposite of Fletcher Cox because you're gonna draw the single block.
He's getting
no
doubled.
Way to you. That's what I'm saying. So he's gonna get double and triple team every single play. And if I was Fletcher, I'd be pissed off right now that I don't have. He's the Batman. Where's my Robin at? At least when Malik Jackson was in there, he got a lot of one on one blocks. Fletcher did because Malik Jackson is making things happen in there also. I mean, that was a devastating blow that he did not play Thursday in the game. And you could tell the blocking schemes were different because his presence wasn't there. And Hargraves showed me nothing to even get on the same level as Malik Jackson at that position. But I mean, there are also guys that stepped up. Josh Sweat. Where did we get him from? I mean, he is definitely balling. Yeah. You know, I think he's a little healthier, and he's starting to play long, play aggressive, and it's showing in his play. He started garnering a little attention, which is opening up things for BG. BG definitely is a compliment now to Josh Sweat. And what does that do? That generates, you know, competitiveness. Now Derek Barnett has to play at a higher level because his reps are going to go down because, you know, if you look at it, Josh Sweat is starting to play. I mean, he even has his little wipe the sweat off his brow.
Yeah.
He's making things happen. He can do that now because he's showing the ability to go out there and make his presence known. Those are all things that competitiveness makes you better as a team. You know, I mean, at this point, I need to see more dividends out of Javon Hargraves, and especially since Ron Ridgway won't be in there and Malik Jackson isn't in there. He has to step it up and give me more than what he's been giving me.
Absolutely. Last thing, we're talking to Bear Brooks. I really appreciate all the time you're giving me this morning. The young wide receivers. Alshon, let's say he comes back. Deshaun, he just got hurt. Are you ready to close the book on Alshon's chapter and go with the young guys? Or whenever Alshon is finally ready, should he be back in there? Because personally, I am enjoying the development. I know they're not all there and they need to get Rager back. I'm enjoying the young wide receivers, seeing them out there competing.
Well, I mean, long story long, man, he's got to go out there and compete and show that he can be out there. I mean, you just can't take a guy out just because, you know, he's back, you know, when he hasn't, you know, when he has guys out there, you know, performing. You know, Hightower was saying, look, you throw the ball deep to me, I'm going to make it happen. Yeah, I dropped a couple, but hey, I'm learning. I'm going to get there. Travis Fulgham, I'm a number one. I'm a number one. I'm a starter. I don't care who you bring back. I'm still going to be a starter. And that's got to be their mindset. Now, Jay Daw, he's got some water in
I don't include him in that. I have not included him in that. He hasn't shown me enough for me to include him in that.
He should be worried right now. Like, all right, am I going to even dress? Well, once Alshon comes back, because at the end of the day, Alshon, if he's healthy, I mean, he's still good, man. He's a stick mover. You know, right. Carson can rely on him if he throws to him to catch it.
Third and eight.
Huge catch radius.
Third and eight.
Right.
Go to him.
Because he's going to shield the defender off of his body. Huge catch radius. And I think that's what makes Travis Fulgham so good. Because he catches the ball with his hands, away from his body. He uses his body to really be a shield from the DB trying to get to the ball, number two. Great body control. And he's just fast enough to make a difference that you can't play him too tight. So those are all great combinations for a guy that plays bigger than 6'2". So, yeah, Alshon comes back. Well, he's going to have to compete. It's not like they're going to just give it to him. He's going to have to compete for playing time. And that's all you want. You want guys to go out there and compete for playing time. Now, Quez Watkins, he ain't showing me anything either. He's getting substantial reps, and he's like a...
No, he's not going to be dressing.
No, so, you know, I don't think he'll be in there. But Jay-Zaw, he's got some thinking to do, you know. I mean, is this really what I want? Do I want this business? You know what I'm saying? Because Alshon's going to go out there, and plus, you know, he's going to, you know, go out there and really, it's an interview for 31 other teams. And that's the way he's going to think about it. He knows his career with the Eagles is over with, so he's interviewing for 31 other teams. So he's going to go out there and give what he can get, give all he can so he can get what he can get after the season's over with. So you'll see a substantially different Alshon out there simply because he has to make sure everybody knows, hey, I'm back. I'm still the man. 31 other teams. Here's my resume.
Absolutely. Well, Barrett, thanks so much for the time again. And obviously, you get a weekend off, and then you'll be back at it on pre- and post-game live. Thanks a lot, brother. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it, man. I got two straight days, today and tomorrow, watching football, man. It's a great thing.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thanks to Barrett Brooks on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. This weekend's programming has been brought to you by Bet Rivers. Bet on Philly's hometown sportsbook all football season long at BetRivers.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's been a fun show today. Been a fun show today talking about the balance. Barrett brought up some interesting points. The Jason Peters thing, I think, is the thing to watch going forward. That's going to be the thing to watch going forward. The coach mentioned that he's going to be back soon. It's going to be very interesting where he plays. I think right guard makes the most sense. Next to hypothetically Lane Johnson, if he can get healthy. Herbig and Mailata really young on that left side. Veterans on the right side. And maybe Dillard's your right guard in the future. That's something to watch for sure going forward. That'd be very, very interesting. All right. I want to thank Nat Marlowe for producing today. Thanks to everybody that tweeted in. Thanks to everybody that called. Thanks to everybody that listened. You could have done anything with your Saturday. And you chose to spend it with me, and I really, really appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
I want to give real fast the poll, the final numbers on the poll, where I asked, how are you feeling about the Eagles right now? 46% are saying all of the above of the following, that win the NFC East, there's too many darn injuries, and at the same time, they stink. I think they're probably right. It's Dallas week on Monday. Dallas week starts on Monday, and if they can beat Dallas, they can kind of have a stranglehold on the NFC East as bad as it has been. So that's my time up next. Temple football, that'll be exciting. You got Temple versus Memphis, and I'll talk to everybody next week.
Weekends on the Fanatic, Tyrone Johnson.
Sponsored by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, Philly's hometown sportsbook.
Sports never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.